and performing this morning, and we're just glad you're here, glad you've joined us, and may God be glorified. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the children that are here, for those who will be performing and singing. We just thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to celebrate the birth of Christ and the coming of the Savior, the one who indeed died for our sins. And we thank you this morning that we can celebrate that coming and celebrate your love for us and continue to meditate upon those things. We pray, Father, that you would be glorified in our time together this morning. And may you indeed be pleased. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Good to see you this morning. Welcome to our church. Welcome for those who are online. This morning, we're going to be singing Christmas carols, all out of the hymn book. So if you grab your hymn book, please, and let's go to 125. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This morning, bless the service. Be with us as we celebrate your holy child come to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated, everyone.
Well, we welcome you to our Sunday school program this morning. We are very thankful to see all of you here. Got a good crowd. We appreciate that so much. Our kids started practicing someplace around October. So when you were basking in the October sun, they were getting ready for the performance this morning. We will do the toddler group, and we'll have the beginner group, and then the primaries and juniors will be together. And they have put on a program for you, not just to entertain you, but they want to honor Christ through all of this. Now, with the teachers, we think they still have their sanity, correct? Okay, so we are bringing this together to glorify the Lord.
plays a great song and looks sharp doing it. Good job, Luke. So we're going to sing again. You don't have to stand this time, but take your hymn books and go to 124, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the thank you, kids. Thank you, Lydia. Such a humble beginning for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. all the more reason why we worship him. Please take your hymn books again. Let's sing 122, Silent Night.
Mary had a baby, oh Lord, Mary
Amen. Thank you, beginner class. Thank you, Philip. Oh, come, oh, come. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, God, be with us. For centuries, that was the cry, and one day, a cry came. Jesus Christ, the baby. Let's take your hymn books again and sing 136, Angels We Have Heard on High. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem, 3. Come to Bethlehem and see, it's whose earth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
What's new with you?
Oh, I'm on my way to my church's Christmas program. Hey, do you want to come along? The church is just around the corner. It'll be great. Come on, you'll really like it. It's always a great program.
I don't know. I'm kind of busy. Anyway, it sounds kind of boring. I've heard the Christmas story before. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, angels. It's like watching a rerun on TV. All that stuff happened, like 2,000 years ago. It has nothing to do with people today. Things change, you know.
You might be surprised. There's a Bible verse that says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I think you might learn something new. Come on, I hear the music coming from the church. Let's go, and afterwards there'll be cookies and stuff.
Oh, all right, but if it's as boring as an old TV rerun.
Don't worry, let's go.
Go with the rerun.
Shh, the angel's speaking.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, Caesar ordered that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So everyone went to their town to register. Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem because he was a descendant of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. And was expecting a child. While they were in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds in the fields nearby watching over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I have good news that will bring great joy to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is a sign for you, you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests."
Those angels were praising God. People still praise the Lord today. You bet it is. We do it all the time around here. Shh, here goes the angel again.
Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
So tell me, what shepherds have to do with today, 2021? I know there are still people raising sheep, but they don't dress like that anymore.
That's true, but herding sheep was a common job back then. Today we have other jobs that we do. Look, here come some modern-day shepherds.
Huh? I don't get it.
These people all have jobs that they do every day. See, there's a businessman. A homemaker.
Woo-hoo!
A farmer. A pastor.
Amen, brother.
A teacher. And a student. They have jobs like the shepherd had sheep. But the most important thing in their lives is following Jesus.
You mean that even though they all had work to do, Jesus still came first for them? If God gave them a job today, they'd drop everything to serve him, like the shepherds left their sheep?
That's right. Still the same.
I think I'm beginning to get the picture. Oh, listen, there's more.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men traveled from the eastern lands to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it appeared, and we have traveled all this way to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was very disturbed. He called together all the chief priests and teachers to ask where the Messiah was to be born. "The prophet has written," they replied, "in Bethlehem of Judea will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." When King Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, "Search carefully for the child. When you find him, report to me, so I can also go and honor him." The wise men went on their way, and the star went ahead of them until it stopped over the house where the child was. There they saw the child with his mother, Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
I think I already know the answer to this, but here it goes. Are there still wise men today?
Yes, in a way. There are still lots of gifts we can bring to Jesus, just like those kings long ago. See, that boy is bringing cookies to share with a neighbor. And that girl is carrying clothes to give to a family who lost everything in a fire. And here's a boy putting money in the missionary offering.
I get it now. Even though the first Christmas happened long ago, it is still alive today. Jesus is alive today. He really is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right. Hey, what do you say about getting in line first for those cookies?
Good job, kids. Did great. You know, it's one thing to practice in your Sunday school room and then to practice last week up here in an empty auditorium. But you get up here, they're kind of scary out there, aren't they? So, good job, kids. Just a couple of real quick announcements. First of all, the junior class has baked some cookies, and so everyone, as you go out this morning, you'll be given a cookie. And if you don't like cookies, you can give them to me. So anyway, there's a cookie for everyone as you leave, baked by the junior class. Also, there's an announcement in your bulletin about Ladies' Life and registering before Christmas, and you get a discount and so forth. There is a specific code that you need that's not in your bulletin, and unfortunately, Lori forgot what that code is, so you need to see her. If you want to register before Christmas for Ladies' Life, see Lori. She'll make sure you get that code, and then you can register before Christmas and get that discount. So we encourage you ladies to be part of that and go to Ladies Life next summer. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for this time together and just the reminder of what Christmas is all about in the middle of the hustle and bustle of the season. Certainly it's a joyous time, it's a fun time, and it can be a great time of fellowship with the family and with friends, and yet first and foremost we must put you in your proper place and give you the priority in our lives, not only at this time of year but throughout the year. Again, thanking you for your love that you manifested in sending your Son to die for us. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
November 1873, a ship set sail from New York bound for France. One can imagine the festive Atlantic crossing with ribbons of red, flags of evergreen, and Christmas carols wafting through the air. In a few days, they would make landfall in Europe just in time for Christmas in Paris. Anna Spafford and her four little daughters were among the passengers. Their father, Horatio, had planned to sail with them, but was detained with business. Not to worry, he told his wife and children, he would book his passage in a few days, and soon they would be reunited in Paris to celebrate the Christmas season. 2 years earlier, the Spaffords had lost their four-year-old son to illness, and soon after, the Great Chicago Fire had all but destroyed Horatio's business interests as well. Horatio's wish was that this Christmas journey would restore hope and bring healing to their lives. Anna strove to keep her children together, but they became separated in the confusion. Shortly after the impact, the waves washed over the deck. Anna and her two youngest daughters were drawn into the crashing waves. She clung to them until at last her strength failed. Husband. It read, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio immediately sailed from New York. 4 days into his voyage, the captain called him to the deck. They were nearing the very place where the ship and his four young daughters now rested 3 miles below on the ocean floor. But Horatio refused to look down. "I did not think of our dear ones there," he recounted. Instead, he gazed out over the rolling waves and up into the moonlit sky. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul."
Thank you.
nations have joined their voices to sing Horatio's powerful hymn. Few know the tragedy and heartbreak that he endured. Horatio's words echo with the story of Christmas. A child was born in Bethlehem, bringing peace on earth and goodwill to men. Because of the birth of Christ Jesus, we can know and have peace through tragedy. Whenever, however, we suffer our own night of darkness and sorrow, God's love will shine through the darkness. In this Christmas season, know that the hope has been born as a baby. And because of his birth, we can say, "It is well. It is well with my soul."
Can we stand and sing O Little Town of Bethlehem? Just sing verse 1, please. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the Thank you. Please be seated.
I'd like to read a verse for you. Ephesians 4:11-12, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Each year, we give a gift to our pastors, and we have our pastors and families here, and we are very, very fortunate and blessed as a church that we have pastors and their families that abide by the Bible and abide by the verses that I just read to you. We praise God for that. And I'd like to speak directly to the pastors for a minute. Thank you so, so very much for what you have delivered each Sunday to us and the dedication that not only you, Don and Mike, but your families too. You know, the families are just as much a part of their ministry, as we all know. And we as a church would like to present two gifts to you. I trust Landon. So we do thank you. We pray for you a lot. We as a church do. We as a church know and appreciate exactly what you folks are doing for us. We love you. We appreciate it so very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We know you pray for us. We know you love us. We love you as well, and we just are so appreciative of your generosity to us, not only this time of year, but throughout the year. Thank you so very much. I do want to take just a few moments and direct our attention to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. You know, Christmas is a very special time of year, and one of the things that makes it very special are the Christmas carols. We've heard them sung this morning. We have sang some ourselves. And, you know, some of those Christmas carols, they're kind of light in theology, but some of them are quite deep in theology. I've often thought of the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We did sing that this morning, especially that second verse, the emphasis on the deity of this baby that was born. The second verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Just that heavy emphasis on the deity of Christ. He's the everlasting Lord. He is God veiled in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the incarnate deity, God infleshed, God becoming a man. That's some deep theology in that Christmas carol. We just sang the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And that one phrase in that first verse that we sang this morning, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What does that mean? The hopes and fears of all the years have met in thee tonight. Have you ever really stopped to think what the hymn writer, that one who wrote that Christmas carol, what they were thinking of there? And just for a few minutes, I'd like us to consider that this morning. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we are grateful for this time together, and help us to have a fuller understanding of the truths of your word, especially as it relates to our fears and our hopes in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. As we consider that thought, the hopes and fears of all the years, we see here in Romans chapter 15 and verses 12 and 13. And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the nations, in him shall the nations trust," or in the nations hope. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." The root of Jesse is spoken of here, and Paul's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. The root of Jesse, of course, is a reference to the Messiah that was promised to come. And often in the Old Testament, the Messiah was referred to as the hope of Israel. But here in Romans 15, as Paul quotes this, we also read that he is not only the hope of Israel, but he is the hope of the nations. We, not Israel alone, but all of us can hope in Jesus Christ, the root of Jesse, the Messiah. And not only can we hope, but this verse in verse 13 says that we can abound in hope. And so as we consider that abounding in hope and in this root of Jesse, this Messiah, all the nations, not just Israel, but all the nations can abound in hope. That means you and me, we can abound in that hope. And I ask you the question this morning, are you? Are you abounding in hope this morning? At this Christmas season, are you abounding in hope? You know, sometimes, you know, Christmas is a great time, but sometimes it can be a very hard time for people. There are certain fears. There are certain despairs. You know, I read recently that there are 132 suicides every day in the United States of America. That's almost one every 10 minutes of every day. Sounds like there's a lot of despair. Sounds like there's a lot of hopelessness. Sounds like there's a lot of fears. And that Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," says, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Our fears meet hope in Jesus Christ. That's what that hymn is talking about, that carol, and that's what Scripture tells us. Our fears meet hope in Jesus Christ. What are some of the fears that we face today? Can you relate to any of these fears? We have the fear of sickness, the fear of poverty, the fear of death, the fear of loneliness, the fear of war, the fear of insignificance. We have the fear of government. Can you relate to any of those fears? The fear of sickness. You know, the last couple of years has certainly brought that out in a lot of people. The fear of sickness and disease, the fear of COVID. And not that we go out and intentionally get sick, not that we don't take precautions, not that we're not careful, but some people in the last couple of years have been just completely paralyzed by fear of sickness. And along with that fear of sickness is that fear of death. And in that fear of death, you know, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that Satan, through the fear of death, keeps man in bondage. When we are paralyzed by the fear of death, we are actually becoming Satan's slaves. And he can get us to do things that we would not otherwise do simply through the fear of death. And we've seen that in the last couple of years, the fear of death. We see the fear of war. If you go about and ask people even at Christmas time. You know, what would they want for Christmas? Many times people will respond, world peace. They want world peace. You know, that's been on the heart and desires of mankind almost since the beginning of time. World peace. And yet it has become an unachievable illusion for man. Man has never achieved world peace. And even today we look around our world and there's wars and rumors of wars all over the globe. Russia seems to be poised to attack Ukraine. China seems to be poised to attack Taiwan. And I read an article this week that suggested that the relationship between Russia and China is getting greater and greater. They have become better friends than they have been in the past. And this article suggested that they may actually cooperate and Ukraine will be attacked by Russia at the same time China attacks Taiwan. And then the question is, what will we do? How will we respond? Can we respond? And that causes great fear in the hearts of many. The fear of war, the fear of government. You know, there are those who today are living in autocratic societies where they are controlled by the government, their freedoms are taken away, Christians are being persecuted around the globe, and many in the last couple of years have seen our own government, and they fear our own government. They believe some of the mandates have been given is the beginning of the end of our freedoms and the beginning of persecution for Christians. They fear our own government. There's the fear of poverty. Again, you know, we talk about rags to riches. Well, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of stories of riches to rags. And people fear losing their job. People fear losing all that they have. People fear losing their nest egg because of medical expenses. A lot of fear of poverty. A lot of fear of loneliness. Again, through the last couple of years, the isolation and the social distancing and all of those things has brought about a lot of fear of poverty, a fear of a loss of connection. And along with that, the fear of insignificance. You know, sometimes as we get older in life, we begin to look back at our life and have I made a difference in anybody's life at all? Am I significant to anybody? Or when I pass away, will anybody care? Will anybody even miss me? The fear of insignificance. Teenagers struggle with that. That's why peer pressure is so successful. As they get that peer pressure, they want to feel significant. And they'll do things because of a fear of insignificance. And so we have these fears. And such fears were very common even at the time of Christ. They're common today. Many at the time of Christ, as we read the Gospels, some of these same fears were expressed during the time of Christ. So when Christ was born, some of these fears existed. But there were also some living in hope at the time Christ was born. Yes, there were these same fears that we experience today, but there were many who were living in hope at the time of Christ's birth. They believed in the promises concerning Christ and the Messiah. They believed the Old Testament prophecies. And as they believed in those Old Testament prophecies, they were living with hope and expectation and anticipation of that coming Messiah. And as they lived in that way, they had hope. Oh, perhaps there were some fears as well. But they had hope. And when Christ was born, their fears met hope in Jesus Christ. Some of the ones who had hope, we won't take the time to read these passages, but Zacharias, he was the father of John the Baptist, and the angel appeared to Zacharias and told Zacharias that his child, who he was to name John, was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And when Zacharias recognized that his son would be the forerunner of the Messiah, he focused on the Messiah, and he expressed there in Luke chapter 1 his hope in this Messiah who would deliver Israel from their enemies and who would redeem his people. He expressed that hope, and he had anticipated that coming Messiah. Simeon, when 40 days after the birth of Christ, Joseph and Mary brought Christ to the temple, and Simeon was in the temple. And when he saw the child, he recognized right away that this was indeed the hope of Israel. This was the Messiah, and expresses that great hope that he had come to be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. Fear met hope in Jesus Christ. Anna, at that same time as they were in the temple, she also gave thanks and started talking about the redemption of Israel. Fear met hope in Jesus Christ. Mary herself, in what we often refer to as the Magnificat, she expressed hope in God, my Savior, who has redeemed Israel. So there were some who had hope at the time of Christ, as well as these fears, but fears met hope in Jesus Christ. Fear of sickness? Perhaps that's your fear this morning. If so, let me introduce you to the great physician. Matthew tells us that he came to bear our sicknesses and our diseases. He can heal. He does heal. If your fear this morning is fear of sickness, let me introduce you to the great physician. Fear of sickness meets hope in the great physician. Perhaps your fear this morning is that fear of death. If that's your fear this morning, let me introduce you to the one who claims to be the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. If your fear this morning is death, let me introduce you to the one who is the life and the resurrection. Fear of death meets hope in the resurrection and the life. Perhaps your fear this morning is the fear of war. Let me introduce you to the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Fear of war meets hope in the Prince of Peace. Your fear this morning is government. Let me introduce you to the King of Kings. Revelation chapter 19 tells us that indeed the King of Kings is coming, and he will indeed establish his throne. Daniel chapter 4 tells us that God rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he wills. Daniel promises in his prophecy that there would be one who would come who would destroy the kingdoms of man and establish his own universal kingdom. The fear of war and the fear of government indeed meets hope in the King of Kings. Perhaps your fear is poverty. Let me introduce you to the one who owns it all. He created it all. He owns it all. It all belongs to him. And we read in Romans chapter 8 that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. As he owns it all, we inherit it all from him. If your fear this morning is fear of poverty, let me introduce you to the one who owns it all. The fear of poverty meets hope in the one who has created it and owns it all. Perhaps your fear is loneliness. Let me introduce you this morning to the best friend you'll ever have, and he'll be your friend forever. Proverbs tells us there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Christ says in John chapter 15, you are no longer my servants. I don't call you my servants. I call you my friends. Perhaps your fear this morning is insignificance. Let me introduce you to the Savior. The one who saw enough significance in you that he came to die on the cross for your sins. Paul himself said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, I'm a first-class sinner, and yet Jesus came and died for me. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Me, the first-class sinner, can become a child of God? That's pretty significant. And the fact that he would come and die for me, that's pretty significant. He came and took our sin upon himself. He took the penalty that we deserved. He died in our place so that we might become a child of God. And that he would love us, and that nothing would ever separate us from that love. If your fear this morning is a fear of insignificance, let me introduce you to the Savior who loves you, and nothing will ever separate you from his love. We started this morning looking there at Romans chapter 15. It talks about abounding in hope. Are you abounding in hope this morning? Are you abounding in hope this Christmas season? Have your fears met hope in Jesus Christ? I encourage you this morning, if you're fearful, and maybe it's some other fear that we haven't mentioned this morning, whatever that fear is, fear meets hope in Jesus Christ. And we'd love to sit down with you and help you through those fears and to introduce you to the one who came to give hope and to eliminate fear. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for the opportunity to come for these few minutes and watch the children sing and to perform and just remind us of this Christmas season. Thank you, Father, for the choir and for that reminder that though we may look around us and it doesn't seem as though there is peace on earth, goodwill to men, that Christ did indeed come so that we might have peace. He came so that we might have hope and that we could abound in that peace. We can abound in that hope through faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray throughout this Christmas season that you would be reminding us of these truths as we go about our responsibilities and as we do indeed have the fun that we have, which is great and very appropriate. And yet, Father, may we have our priorities to match your priorities. Thank you that in Jesus Christ, the hopes and fears of all the years meet in him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To grab your cookie as you leave, and also we welcome you to stay for our Sunday school hour. Shall we stand together? Guide us, Father, as we go our separate ways. We thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.